we go. Okay. We're hustling and rustling here, trying to get caught up. We're there. There's a lot going on, and we're going to have some very interesting things to listen to and discuss tonight. A teaser. For a long time, I think many of you have noticed, we have taken particularly close note of the stories and accounts coming in from people and our readers who are reporting that friends, relatives, loved ones, co-workers have had small to major personality changes. We have speculated that the spike was causing a lot of that, principally with microclotting, the activating of prion proteins causing Alzheimer's, ALS, mad cow, a lot of different things. Certainly Creutzfeldt-Jakob is probably at the top of most people's list. But now we have more information that makes it clear that not only is that correct, but it's probably worse than that. And it's been out for about 3-4 weeks now. We just finally got hold of it, and I'm going to play some excerpts from a doctor named, I believe it's Dr. Michael Nels. Is it Michael is his first name?
I believe so, yeah.
Well, my memory still works now. I haven't been hit yet. He describes how the autobiographical memory in the brain is apparently particularly hard hit, or one of the most noticeable portions of the human brain structure that is being damaged, if not destroyed. And that's in the hippocampus. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. We will. So here we go. Let me see if I can find that. I just got it. Thank you. I don't know where that went. Okay. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one would the one be? The first one? Fallout?
Which one?
Oh, no,
Flintstones?
It's labeled. There are three of them. Okay, good. All right. All right. I want all of you to sit down now. This is going to be a little bit of humor, but deadly serious humor, because I think all of you know, and you don't have to be living in this country, there's junk food all around the world now. You know that. And it's as regulated as our junk food is, boy, is it toxic, believe me. And I think you know that. And if you have children and you feed them any of these FDNC food colors, food and dyes, red number 40, for example, you're crazy. Don't do that to your children or yourselves. Only buy organic, natural cereal. If you have to have morning cereal, do oatmeal. Put some raisins and walnuts in it, whatever. But these cereals called berry, as in B-E-R-R-Y, as in flavored, berry-flavored pebbles, P-E-B-B-L-E-S. That's just one. There were, I think, other kinds of pebbles as well. Some guy wrote in. Is this the one I want to read, the first one?
Well, yeah, let me preface this by giving some backstory on it. This is from one of the groups where it's the B6 toxicity group. These are people who are suffering primarily what appears to be neurologically. They don't really have any definitive diagnosis, but they did have a high level of B6 show up on a blood test. And so they are convinced that B6 or high levels of B6, which is a vitamin, it's a critically necessary vitamin, is the source of their neurological problems. And now B6 in high levels taken over a long period of time can indeed be neurotoxic. But right now we have an epidemic of people who are suddenly, for reasons unknown, believing they have B6 toxicity, and that is the cause of their neurological issues. So they're in this group. There's several groups now devoted to this topic. And one of the groups promotes an extremely restrictive diet, basically eliminating all sources, not just supplements. You know, in the past, you would normally just quit taking supplements that contain B6, especially the form that needs to be converted, because some people just don't convert very efficiently, so you end up with high levels of a inactive form that can be neurotoxic in some people. But again, it's typically only over a long period of time. So the people running one of these groups is telling all the members to not only restrict their supplement forms of B6, but also any foods. Now, granted, it is added to processed foods to try to make these processed foods look healthy. But you can tell by this post that these people just need some education in really what constitutes a good diet.
They don't know. And these are adults.
They don't have a clue. And these are not children writing. These are adults who are writing.
They don't have a clue.
No, it's really rather tragic.
All right, here's this guy sending a picture of berry pebbles. And he writes...
This is Flintstones. Flintstones breakfast cereal.
Right. Well, they're called berry pebbles with the Flintstones. I don't know. What
yes.
Whatever. Whatever. All right, here. First of all, before we go on, I got to do this real quick. Ingredients. Rice. It's not organic rice, so it's sprayed. Might be GMO rice. I don't know. Rice, sugar, canola, and or soybean oil. Bad and worse. Canola, no good. The old article, say it isn't soy. Remember that one?
Mm-hmm.
Soybean oil, no good. Salt. Red dye number 40. Blue dye number 1. And natural flavor, which is MSG. Okay? So there you go. That's what's in it. It's incredible.
Well, don't forget the vitamins and minerals they've added.
Yes, but not vitamin B6, B3, whatever, B6.
Well, that's the whole point
of
this.
There. Yeah.
Well,
he says...
You should mention what is there, what has been added.
Vitamin D?
No, but beneath the ingredients.
Oh, way down there.
Mm.
Oh, let me just do this first. The vitamin content, as listed on the label, vitamin D, 0 micrograms. Calcium, 0 micrograms. Iron, 0.2 milligrams. Potassium, 20 milligrams. Thiamine, 70% of your RDA. Folate, 10% of your RDA. That's folic acid. Pantothenic acid, 15%, and zinc, 10%. All right. The vitamins and minerals added, zinc, oxide, thiamine, I can't read it, mononitrate, I got it, it's blurry, that's vitamin B1, calcium, pantothenate, that's B5, and folic acid. All right, those were added. All right, so this stuff is poison.
Well, there's zero nutritional value in it.
No, there's nothing there. It's negative. It's negative calories and zero nutrition. It's 140 calories.
Some synthetic B vitamins.
It's horrible. Absolutely toxic. No. And these are big sellers, these products. Anything with color in them is FDNC. Look for FDNC food colors. No. This guy writes, something that may be of interest to you, fruity pebbles and cocoa pebbles, I told you there were other kinds, have added B6, but berry pebbles has not. Odd, but I ain't complaining. Yes, of course, I bought them anyway. Don't be silly. Be well, my friends. So is this guy walking into walls yet? He will be soon. I don't know. This is crazy. And the responses are interesting. Tell us about what came back from that post.
Okay. someone says, Coco Krispies appear to have quite a bit of B6 per the chronometer. Don't know if I trust the berry pebbles either. And original poster says, you're right. I was just at the store today and I checked. I don't know why I thought otherwise. And he says back to him, all good. I had to check because I was excited. I miss cereal. And another person chimes in, I'd love to have some other ideas of no added B6 cereals. Original poster says, well, there are actually quite a lot. The brands Kashi and Mom's Best Cereals, for example, and others I cannot think of off the top of my head. Most granolas like Nature's Path don't have B6, if I'm not mistaken. Well, thank you so much. I will look for them. And another person said, well, kids' cereals are usually serious B6 offenders. Interesting that B6 is omitted in this cereal. And the last one is from the admin of the group. Members, also remember, we do not food shame in this group. There are as many varied diets in this group as there are people. What one person eats in this group is their choice, not yours. Food shaming comments will be removed. So I suspect some people offered their opinions of these food choices. And
mm-hmm. Yeah, no doubt.
But this is just, you know, one of many reasons why Americans are in such a sorry state of health.
Most packaged foods are trouble. You've got to really be careful. And now we know that in California, we haven't covered this, I don't think. Well, we did a little bit. In California, I think it's now fully legal, is it not, to take sewage directly from your toilet and allegedly purify the liquids and feed it back into the municipal water supply already tainted with fluoride and right out of your tap into your glass comes back to you what you put down the toilet last week. Drink up, Californians.
They passed, I guess, a regulation that's allowing that. Someone also just posted a list of everything that they have found in the municipal tap water in California, and it's no less than probably 75 pharmaceuticals.
Send it. I'll post it. That's big. Here's the bottom line. There's already fluoride in municipal water and 74 other things. You just heard Erica say 75 approximately. So we got dozens and scores of things in the water that shouldn't be there, not good for you. All kinds of pharmaceuticals that are not filtered out of the water. And now we have sewage, retreated, recycled, rehabilitated, retrained sewage water is going right into the municipal system. And I don't know if it's in many communities yet, but that's been green flagged. They got it. The green light is on. So that's coming. So you obviously don't even want to dream about using California tap water. I wouldn't even put it on my lawn. So it's bad, and it's getting worse. And there's some black humor in all this, you know. It's pretty funny when you think about it. It's crazy.
Well, you know, you can filter this stuff out or process it however you want, but they say that water has memory. And it will have the energetic imprint
Emoto.
Of everything that has been in that water.
That's Dr. Emoto, and he's correct.
Right.
He's proven it to me. I'm satisfied with it. So, I mean, even if it's, let's say that there was some toxin in there and they successfully removed it, just by virtue of the fact that it's already been in the water, it has left its biophysical imprint, its vibrational imprint in the water. It's there. Mm. So you could conceivably get a reaction from that biophysical imprint in the water when you drink it. So, yeah. And if you see a beverage in any packaged food motif and it does not say filtered water, and again, we go right away to, well, what the hell kind of filter are they using? Is it a good one? Is it just a throwaway? Is it just a name tag they're going to put on the ingredients? It has to at least say filtered water or you're going to get Muni water. You just are. This is cheap. That's what they do.
Well,
and you
makes,
know my little...
You know, anything and everything coming out of the state of California from now, suspect.
Especially
not that it isn't
people.
Already.
Yes. The invaders.
Well, we already have confirmation that Pacific Foods is using municipal tap water, and so is Bragg's.
Unbelievable. And I've known Patricia for decades. I don't think she even knows. She wouldn't allow it. She's probably retired now anyway. Let somebody else run her company, which she often did and paid the price, and people take advantage. But it's a great line of products, but sad to say, it does appear that Muni Water is involved in I guess, the ACV, isn't it?
Yeah.
Apple cider
vinegar. Yeah, they have to add a little bit of water at times to dilute the acidity.
Oh, it's so bad.
I mean, why would you take a health product and add...
You're asking
municipal
me?
Tap water to it?
I don't know. It makes no sense. It defies logic. It's crazy. Okay, well, here's another crazy thing that I didn't know about, and Erica told me the other day, and we all know that there is a movement now to bag bar it. You feel like you need a little iron? Go to a bag bar. And I guess, did you find out any more about that? Can you just walk in and order up, or do you have to make an appointment?
Oh, no, you can get an iron infusion, you know, without a prescription.
Wow. All right. Well, so that's on the table. Now, here's something else that's happening. Diane Ginsberg, she's a medical doctor, and I guess she's been at it a while. She's around 50-ish, something like that. And where was I? She was at 12 minutes. Wasn't that about it? I lost
yeah.
it. I'm going to go back and find it here. All right, tell us what they're doing, and then I'll add on my little 2 cents.
Well, this is, I came across this. It came in through my mailbox, a solicitation to participate in a study. They want to study young blood plasma and its rejuvenation effects in humans. Now, they've done these types of studies in animals, and they claim that when you take the plasma, blood plasma, of a young animal and you infuse it into a older animal, it has a completely systemic rejuvenative effect. And all kinds of, you know, nasty, chronic, pesky illnesses that are associated with aging just magically reverse themselves.
It's the fountain of youth.
Yeah, yes. So that, you know, this is for people that are into this longevity thing, anti-aging, it has some appeal. I mean, some people will stop at nothing to retain their youthfulness. So she gave a presentation at one of the a recent conference and attached this video to solicit interest in this study that's being conducted now.
Hold on. Let's take it from the beginning. Where does plasma come from, my dear? Where do you get plasma?
Well, donors, human donors.
It comes from other people, correct. It's not synthesized.
Now, what they've done is they have selected or screened young adults ages 18 to 24 to donate their plasma for this the purposes of this study. And I believe the cost is about $5,000 a liter.
$5,000.
Yeah.
That's what I saw.
And you'll be offered two of those during this study, and they will monitor your, you know, whatever biomarkers are associated with aging and see if they improve. It was interesting. It's almost as if the people fixated on living forever are just oblivious to the fact that we're currently dealing with a
an ELE.
Extinction-level intervention here that you know, is afflicting a substantial portion of the population. And the spike protein that has now been either acquired or injected into the majority of the world's population has amyloidogenic or prionergenic capabilities. In other words, if this somehow makes its way into your body, it can initiate a whole cascade of protein misfolding, including prion disease.
And what is prion disease? Folks, remember, all of you, most of you remember, prion disease will end up killing you. That's mad cow disease, right?
Well, that's basically. Yeah. If it gets into the brain or the nervous system,
right?
But there's other, you know, amyloidosis in any form is life ending. And I'm just incredulous as I was watching this about a 25-minute presentation. And she did address safety concerns and kind of glossed over them.
Let's hear what she says right there. That's a good place. Here. All right, this is Dr. Diane, D-I-A-N, Ginsberg, M-D, talking about young plasma. Sounds a little bit like adrenochrome, that kind of thinking. Anyway, here we go.
Scaffolding. And I put all those other studies in there. You can look them up. The joint and cartilage gets better because those guys lose their proteins they need. The brain growth factors, the BDNF, the brain-derived neurotrophic factors, all of those that make you you, you just can't make anymore. So when you put the plasma in, there's no cells, so there's going to be no reaction. And it is the plasma that is, these proteins are made from somebody who is younger. Okay, what about safety? Now, I can tell you, this is safety data I wanted you to have, and now I'm going to show you some case studies of where we saw what it'll do, but I wanted the data there because people go, oh my God, young plasma, I'm going to put plasma in, or it's a problem, it's unsafe. I can't tell you, if somebody's in a car accident, they don't know your blood type. They're taking O negative and slamming it in you in the emergency room. If you've not been in the hospital, before you know what hit you. And if anybody has ever seen a postpartum hemorrhage, or if anybody has known anybody that bled, trust me, pregnant women know how to bleed. And so we put that plasma in. I can't remember the last time I saw a problem in the operating room. The anesthesiologist sometimes hangs that stuff so fast, squeeze. So they do great. It's safe, and you can look at these numbers. One death in 2019, none in 2020 and 2021.
And she's predicating on this, or I guess on this event in the emergency room or operating room, she's saying they slam plasma into people right away to hydrate their or keep their blood system from collapsing from lack of internal pressure. This is crazy. This is crazy.
Yeah, and she cited the statistics from 2019 to 2020 to 2021. Well, how about 2022 and 2023? Now that we have all these people injected with a bioweapon, essentially.
The reason we're doing this is this is probably going to take off, so to speak. And there's virtually no reason in the world to even imagine that this stuff is safe. No chance.
I don't have confidence in their screening at this point.
No way. There's no cells
in
it.
The Red Cross is not screening. They've admitted it, that there's no concern about either the virus, coronavirus, or the spike protein, or vaccinated anything being in the
Anybody
blood supply.
Anybody can
They're
donate
not
blood. They're not, even HIV-positive people after a certain period of time are allowed to donate blood now. Look, this is crazy. It's more craziness because there are going to be spike proteins in there. They're not screening for them. There are going to be prions in there. There are going to be all kinds of things because each bag, let's say it's a bag, okay, well, just for the sake of discussion.
Yeah,
each bag of this contains plasma from how many people mixed
thousands,
together? Go ahead.
Thousands. Thousands.
All right. So thousands of people who are probably, well, if the statistics are correct and the percentages hold, at least 80% of them will have been shot up one or more times. So they will be loaded with prions. They'll be in there. Maybe even mRNA. Who knows? Certainly some of the plasmid DNA, what they're trying to pass off as some kind of pollutant or contaminant, will be in there. There are all kinds of things in there, which you don't want, you don't need, and could kill you. Period.
Yeah, I mean, the irony in this, people going for you know, a treatment that's supposed to rejuvenate them, and they end up getting bad cow
now,
disease.
They'll be Creutzfeldt Jakob dead meat in no time at all. No,
we're living in really bizarre times. I have to say that.
Well, it's another hustle, another money-making hustle. That's all it is. All right, let's go on to Dr. Naomi Wolf interviewed this gentleman named Dr. Michael Nels, N-E-H-L-S. I think he might be Dutch. He's done some very serious work about how mRNA injections, i.e. the Pfizer vax, the Pfizer death weapon, the bioweapon, how mRNA injections erase autobiographical, your conscious memory, from your mind, most specifically the hippocampus part of your brain. In other words, so many people now are reporting short-term memory loss. That's one of the hallmarks. Short-term memory loss. But he's pointing to long-term memory loss of your history, your life history. It's being abrogated from your memory. It's gone. And we know pretty much that the brain and the heart cannot regenerate cells, new cells. They're the only two organs in the body that don't regenerate cells. You have heart damage, your heart is not going to regenerate rebuilding cells. The brain, the same thing. It's not supposed to happen. There is some talk with Dr. Nels that he thinks some of the neurons can be repaired in the brain, apparently. But we have no definitive study on this. He's saying, let me back up. What we've always suggested is that prions in the brain, and they have no problem getting there, and they love to be in the brain or in neurology, prions in the brain will cause microclotting, which starves the cells that were being served by the capillary that is now clotted shut. By the attachment of prions to the endothelial cells around the capillary, and then the agglutination or aggregation to that prion-type protein. It's a spike, whatever. Anyway, they build up with other debris, as you know, and they build amyloid clots. So the brain's being killed off already. Everyone who's gotten shots is now suffering slow, very slow, but measurable loss in cognitive competence, functionality. Their brains are being killed slowly. Well, there's a whole nother way to look at this. Go ahead and set this up, and we'll play some of it for everybody out there. So you know that there is now a very interesting theory. It's more than just a theory. There's some data that point very strongly to this gentleman being correct in how he says the mRNA injections destroy your autobiographical memory.
Yeah, it's, the spike is now known unequivocally to be a neurotoxin, and it creates tremendous inflammation, which is in and of itself very damaging to the brain. And depending on where that inflammation is happening, if it's in the area of the hippocampus, well, that has to do with memory and I guess just how you see yourself in the world, how you define yourself, the memories
right.
that have made up your life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
So it's a fast track to dementia.
Inflammation and microclotting in the brain are enough to cause massive headaches and the beginning, certainly, of cognitive decline. And when you add to that the virus, let's say you get the virus, which creates its own spike, and the spike goes into your brain and does damage. It will do that. And we now think that up to 2 years, and this is what's been measured, after being infected with the virus, that virus and its activity have not completely left your body. Unless you've cleared it 100%, it can still be in the background, the virus, operating at a sub-symptomatic level, creating problems in your brain, in your heart, in all your major organs, and everywhere the blood goes. So
yeah.
You may not be clear of that virus if you feel good. There's no guarantee of it. So keep that in mind. All right. And anything else, I'll play this and we're going to learn. This is very interesting and very important material.
No, go ahead.
Here we go. This is Dr. Michael Nels being interviewed by Dr. Naomi Wolf.
At the point that maybe you just want to sell these mRNA injections or whatever was going on globally, it still didn't make any sense to me. And when I realized from my previous work on Alzheimer's disease that the spike protein of the virus, of coronaviruses, are actually attacking the brain, particularly the autobiographical memory. And there, a very particular function of the autobiographical memory, that is the production of new nerve cells, which is are required for its function. And not only the function of good memory, yeah, that you can remember what you have eaten in the morning or what you have discussed an hour ago or what you have lived through years ago. It's actually more important even that these production of these nerve cells and the inhibition that we experience by the spike protein, that this inhibition leads to a situation where people have reduced psychological resilience, that they have a lack of curiosity. And what I also have shown, and I'm now invited.
I believe he said, have a lack of curiosity. That was hard to understand. I think that's what he said.
Yeah.
I'm going to back that up just a little bit. I missed it the first time myself. So, okay, here.
And what I also have shown, and I'm now invited actually to write a scientific article about this in Frontiers of Psychology, that I've discovered that these new neurons are essentially required that we are able to think laterally, that we can actually think, essentially, really think about things and plan the future. And so curiosity, the ability to think, and all these things are essentially encumbered by what we experienced the last 4 years and continue to be suffering based on certain variations that are engineering that has taken place on the spike protein and is now regularly injected to a large number of people worldwide.
All right, don't forget, spike protein, and people forget this sometimes, comes from being infected with any of the subvariants of COVID-19. Any of the variants will produce spike in your body prolifically, and if you get shot up, perhaps permanently, as in forever. Now, that's not to say that the virus itself won't continue to produce spike at a low level, maybe a subclinical level, for at least 2 years now. We have evidence to suggest that very strongly. So once you've been contaminated, that's why we beg you to wear masks. They're not perfect, not by a mile. But if it gives you a 25% better insulation from casual contact and inhalation of spike protein and maybe mRNA, for God's sakes, take that chance. Bend every advantage your way. I'll take 25% any day of the week, if that's what it is. And it may be much more than that. I don't know. All right, here.
God. Let me pause you right there and restate what I think I heard you say, which is pretty shocking and disturbing. You're saying that the spike protein in the virus itself attacks the part of brain processing that lets people recall autobiographical memory, right? Who they are, where they, who they love, where they've been. But that it also attacks the part of brain processing that lets people plan and think with nuance and have curiosity. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
The production of these new nerve cells, which are inhibited by a process called neuroinflammation, which is severely caused by the spike protein. It was already shown with SARS-CoV-1, which now tried to make a pandemic 2002 and 2003. It was shown that it activates the immune system in a way that it produces certain cytokines, and these cytokines are strong inhibitors of this production of they required nerve cells, the daily production of nerve cells in what we call the hippocampus, our autobiographical memory center. And if this is inhibited, you have severe consequences in behavior, in the ability how we perceive the world. And what I haven't mentioned before, and what is even more severe in this context, if you have no production of these nerve cells, you are prone to be uninterested in the world, in you are not curious anymore. The likelihood that you develop the depression is very high. The long term, it will go into Alzheimer's, because I've shown in a paper which I published in 2016, and it's called the Unified Theory of Alzheimer's Disease. I've shown that the lifelong blockade of the production of these nerve cells in the hippocampus is essentially the cause of Alzheimer's.
Good God. All right. So this, I know people listening are thinking so with so much pain about loved ones around them who are having exactly the personality change that you're describing, that they, I mean, this is something very common that I've seen, is, and people complain about it, neighbors who used to greet them looking at them as if they are a rock, right? Mm-hmm. Or people being unable to engage in nuanced debate, or people who used to be very good critical thinkings just parroting government talking points, people being willing to have their families torn apart, people like being okay with the fragmentation, people saying, I'll never see you again. Could all of those otherwise inexplicable behaviors be manifestations of the symptomatology you've just described?
Exactly. It's exactly what I'm describing here. And it's even worse. I mean, you already said that people are just repeating essentially the narrative that they hear from the mainstream media. And what happens if you have no production of these new nerve cells, which are practically, if they are produced, their function is to become index neurons. Index neurons meaning that they are an index for all the content of memories that we form.
Oh, God.
So what happens if the index...
So they're kind of like little miniature hard drives that compose the bedrock, the baseline of your entire memory of self and your experiences. This is a very important, and you caught that. I hope all of you caught that. His paper came out in 2016. He's been on this, watching this from the beginning, because he already knew he has a unified field theory of Alzheimer's, and he's been watching the rollout of these ELE bioweapon injections and what they've been doing psychologically to 2 billions of people. So this guy's right on it.
Production is down based on the spike protein, but also the measures we have experienced in 2020 already. If this production of these index neurons is down and you are forced to memorize things anyway, so without new index neurons, the hippocampus has only one chance to do it. It has to override existing index neurons.
Okay, I hope you followed that. These little index neurons, which are normally, apparently, recreated in the hippocampus, are without question essential. Otherwise, your hippocampus will override them to instill new memory data into your memory, your autobiographical memory self. This is not what you want. It's overriding a normal function and disqualifying all the existing little hard drives, these neurons, which no longer are apparently being consulted. When you think, well, what did I do over there? And your hippocampus goes, or your whatever, your consciousness goes to look for it, it's not there anymore. It's just wiped out. It's still there, but it's inactive. It's been overridden, I think, is what he's saying. Am I right?
I think so.
All right. Let's go back. I'm going to back it up just a little and let's see. That's worth it. Let's see what we get here. I don't know how far to go back. 40 seconds. Okay.
Repeating essentially the narrative that they hear from the mainstream media. And what happens if you have no production of these new nerve cells, which are practically, if they are produced, their function is to become index neurons. Index neurons meaning that they are an index for all the content of memories that we form.
Okay.
So what happens if the index neuron production is down based on the spike protein, but also the measures we have experienced in 2020 already? If this production of these index neurons is down and you are forced to memorize things anyway, so without new index neurons, the hippocampus has only one chance to do it. It has to override existing index neurons.
Okay, I was right. It has to override your existing index neurons. Your memories are in those little hard drive neurons, and the hippocampus has to override them if you're not producing new ones. And that's what's being blocked by the spike, et cetera. Crazy. All right, here.
Two things happen. First, you erase with each new, let's say, fear-mongered narrative, you erase a part of your former memories, a part of your personality. That's one thing. The other thing is the new narrative, the narratives that you are essentially are now forced to memorize by overriding former memories, which might be nice and happy memories from your past. What happens is that these new index neuron over this new, let's say, incorporated thoughts and ideas, the narratives, the technocratic narratives, that these become your new personality. And the point is, that's what I experienced, and probably you have experienced as well, when you talk to people about these narratives, if you put them in question, it's almost like you attack the person itself.
Exactly. And that's actually what's happening in the brain. The locus of personality is now being occupied by these narratives. So people, this, you're explaining so much. I mean, just in these few minutes, I literally have had debates with family members in which I brought up primary source evidence, and they could not tolerate it and left the room, right? They had to leave the room. And people report this all the time. So if these counter narratives, so what you're saying is people who are suffering from this brain damage essentially don't...
What he's saying is because there are no new neurons being formed and so forth, your hippocampus is overriding your personality. Think of your personality as being stored on millions of little hard drives. Your hippocampus is overriding your personality and either leaving you with next to no personality, recognizable as being you, whoever you are, and giving you a new one or a new slant on one. This is exactly what's happening to people. They're changing, and this is how it's done. The hippocampus is overriding your lifelong acquisition of a personality and a whole behavioral set of protocols. This is staggering. This explains it. This guy should be nominated for a Nobel if the Nobel still was worth a shit, excuse me, but it's not. But he should still be nominated for it. This is, to me, horrifying to hear this. Let me go back.
I wonder
a little
if
bit
it
more.
Was planned.
Come on, they planned every damn thing about this thing. we know that. Here.
Experience, Naomi bringing some data as this is, you know, my loved one bringing data. I need to think about it or reject it or whatever. They think they experienced it as an attack on the very self. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, exactly. That's what's happening. Their personality becomes, the narrative becomes part of their personality. And it's almost like you invade the personal room. It's like you step on their toes, and nobody wants that, so they leave the room. It's obvious.
Good God. All right, so now I have to ask the next obvious question. You have described the spike protein in the coronavirus as having these effects on the brain. Of course, there's spike protein in the vaccine injections as well. Does that have the same effect on the brain, and could that explain...
Betcha.
Personality changes that people have noticed in their loved ones who got vaccinated?
Absolutely. This is also where I think, I mean, what I write in the book is a theory. not the theory about what's happening scientifically, but if this is all happening by accident, nobody has aimed to do that, or is there actually a purpose behind that? And there I look at two things. I look at the virus and I look at the injections of the mRNA. If I look at the virus, one might never know if the virus was released by accident or on purpose. Mm-hmm. And so one could say, well, that the spike protein, which is engineered to produce the S1 subunit, which can enter the brain via the blood-brain barrier much more easily now after this cleavage site has been inserted. This was a necessity, actually, to make it a brain toxin. Mm-hmm. So part of the body.
Okay, so what you just heard him say was that, in his opinion, it was utterly intentional that the spike become a brain toxin. It's a brain killer. And if I were building a bioweapon like the one that's been released on the world, most notably through Pfizer and Moderna, I would put that in it. I would certainly have that in it as an ingredient, a component, a tentacle of impact and effect on the physiology. Wherever that spike goes, and if it goes to the brain, which it loves to go to, you're seeing genocide being carried out, as we have said for years now, over and over again, on so many different levels. It's mind-boggling. And we don't even talk about some of the stuff because it's very complicated, but it's there. And this didn't just happen. All these things were built. This is a built, constructed weapon of the most malicious species-ending configuration that I can imagine. It is horrible. As you know, going way back to the beginning, we started talking about how it destroys the blood. It comes right in. It just starts ruining the blood. And your immunological competence goes out the door. You're in trouble right away. And from there, look at all the other things that we've gone through. And now this, confirmation of how the personality, in his view, is being destroyed. Every time those neurons are overwritten, that part of your personality is gone. It's gone. You can't be who you used to be because it's gone. Now you're an amalgam of sound bites from the mainstream media, that programming imbecilic information into people and data all the time. So that's who you become. The new personality is being formed because of the spike protein forcing the overriding of these existing neurons.
It's awful. And, you know, plenty of people have commented on this, you know, from starting from probably a year or 2 years ago. You can see the personalities begin to change.
Well, Happy New Year, huh? That's really stunning. Let's give him another 30 seconds here.
Engineering, which was proposed by a think tank for the DARPA in 2018, I remember, to put this furin cleavage site into the spike protein, in the mRNA, and then, of course, into the protein. This was only proposed to make it a bioweapon, to make it more infectious. But from my point of view, it made it not only more infectious, it made it primarily a brain toxin.
There it is. It's a brain toxin, among how many other things. This is really incredible to hear laid out, because it glues together so many things that we've been trying to present in a logical and pragmatic fashion, and now we have a working mechanism for it.
I would say so. I mean, you know, the brain is under assault from many different directions. Once this stuff is in the body, you've got the microclotting, right, and then the inflammation, the lack of oxygen, and the whole vasculature is being damaged by the spike. The endothelium is just falling apart.
Blood destroyed, plumbing to carry the blood destroyed, the pump is being destroyed, the heart. We've seen Arnie Burkhart's slides on that from autopsy. Cleavage, the spike protein, when it's cleaved, has these sites on it, and there are seven primary ones, but there are more than that. How many cleavage sites altogether, approximately? Do we know?
You're talking about the sequences that are exposed.
Yes,
and
the seven sequences.
As I understand it now,
yeah.
Those amyloidogenic sites are there regardless of whether it's cleaved or not.
Uh-huh. Okay. Wow. How many other sequences? We know of seven.
I think you're referring to the
peptides.
I think you're referring to the Pfizer plasmid that had probably, I think, another 23 possible amyloidogenic sequences in it.
So that's 30 sequences, and the first seven, one of the seven at least, was specific to look for prion proteins that are still functional, they're not nasty yet, in the blood. And when it comes across one, it flips it. It misfolds it.
Well, I mean, that's just one of many. Minute it attaches to the ACE2 receptor, there's a whole cascade of problems that happen. I mean, that is instant inflammation and no way of turning that off.
Do you see what we keep saying? That this thing is so diabolical. You do not want inflammation in your body. And this thing creates inflammation.
Well, again, it's coming from many, many different features. Having to do with the proteins that are a part of the virus and in particular part of the spike.
Exactly. All right, we have to go. We're running late. Any other thing you want to add here? This has been really a phenomenal expose. This program. I hope it's been helpful to all of you. We both care about this.
I would just add too that in addition to the inflammation and the lack of oxygen and the protein misfolding, we also have the very real specter of autoantibodies being formed against neurons. I'm hearing more reports of something called MOG, M-O-G, antibody disease, which is myelin, oligodendrocyte glycoprotein antibodies, and that's a demyelinating disease similar to multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, you go after the myelin, you're in trouble.
Yeah, it affects the central nervous system, and you could have something like transverse myelitis, where you're partially paralyzed, or some type of encephalomyelopathy, cortical encephalopathy. I mean, it's the brain's under attack.
The spike protein is the deadliest thing humankind, and I think there's more to it. Just me, not speaking for Erica, that has ever been created, and it's totally synthetic. Don't forget it.
Well, it's designed to maim and kill, and that's exactly what it's doing.
Yeah. And I see these people, and we care, but these poor people think that they're going to just drink something or take a borax bath, and they're going to detox this stuff. It doesn't work that way. The spike is not easily gotten rid of.
No, that's the problem. When it gets into the cell, it just sits there and causes the cell to become senescent, meaning it's not dead.
It just sits there, too.
It just sits there, but it signals inflammation. So
right.
One senescent cell can send that signal to 350 other cells and cause them to respond the same way, churning out inflammatory signaling.
See how it
works?
So you're
in this state of constant inflammation.
Cascade of horror for the human physiological entity. And whoever and whatever put this thing together is more than satanic.
Yeah.
All right, we have to go. Great job, as always. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Good night, everyone.
All right, gang, hold on. And this program will be posted tonight. Do share it and listen to it a couple times, and I think you'll understand. This is another major component of a potential extinction-level event. Potential. Be right back.